And with that song, in that third line of the fourth verse, is really something special. As he died to make us holy, let us die to make all free. And that's just an amazing message as we come to this week, as we're looking at the freedoms we enjoy in this country. We're going to be looking at the freedoms that we enjoy in Christ Jesus. And our second scripture reading comes from Galatians chapter 5. And if you'd like to follow along in your pew Bible, that's page 1131. I'm going to read verse 1 and then drop down to 13 through 25. Galatians 5, starting in verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, joy, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So this is a very interesting passage. And last week, we were looking just a couple chapters before this in Galatians 3, where we're talking about being free from the law. In chapter 3, verse 25, says, now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. And it continues on in 3:28, saying, I'm going to back up and read this whole section, starting in 26. So you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. You are all one in Christ Jesus. As we come to faith in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit regenerates our souls and we are reconciled to the Father, all of our worldly categories are stripped away. And we become the body of Christ. All of our sins are washed away. All the desires of the flesh that he talks about in chapter 5, we all have them. We all succumb to them. They're washed away. And we become one in Jesus Christ. And when we become one in Jesus Christ, we are set free. There's freedom. What does that word mean? And what does it cost? And since this week we are celebrating the 4th of July, I was wondering what the cost has been for this country. So I looked up some statistics. You know, you all know me, I'm kind of a numbers guy. I like to look at things in concrete numerical values and kind of go from there. It helps me focus. As you also know, I'm a little ADD, I start going off on tangents. So I asked Google, our wonderful Google nowadays, right? You've got a question, go there. But we know all the answers come from the Bible. I asked Google, what has been the fatalities as we've gone through several different world wars and other conflicts. In the American Civil War, approximately 620,000 fatalities. In World War I, there was 116,000, just over. World War II, 405,000 deaths. Then the Vietnam War was 58,220. The Iraq War was approximately 4,500, but the staggering number in that was the 32,000 wounded. And then Afghanistan War, almost 2,500 military personnel were killed. The cost of freedom comes in blood. Think about that. The cost of freedom comes in blood. And as we look at our country in general, we like this idea of freedom. We like this idea that I get to live my life the way I choose. I can believe what I want. I can live where I want. I can say what I want. Because this is a free country. What does it mean to be free? What does it mean to be free in the context that God is saying you are free? Now, Paul states here that it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And then he drops down and says, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. So now we have a conflict here. We have our cultural ideas of what freedom is. I get to do what I want. As long as I don't hurt anybody, I get to do whatever I want. Then we have freedom in Christ, but don't use that freedom to indulge in whatever you want to do. So what are we free from? What are we free to do? What is Paul really talking about? Now, Paul uses this idea of slave and free throughout his letters. And he links our state of being prior to Jesus coming into our hearts. Our state of being dead to sin, being enslaved to sin. You see, back in the ancient world, Slavery was common. I know that's a word that we really don't like to use in modern American conversations because it brings up a lot of other topics. But back in Paul's day, it was a common practice. A country would invade another country, and the prisoners of war then became slaves, then got sold off and whatnot. And then, you know, even in the Roman Empire, they took their captives and put them into the Colosseums and things. And there was the practice of, if you owed a lot of money, you could sell yourself into a bond servant type situation to pay off all your debts. So the scriptures like to use a common theme understood to the cultural context around them. And when you're trying to explain something to someone, you try to use what is understood to that person to make a point. So Paul uses here the idea of being enslaved because everyone knew what that meant. How the person wasn't able to do what they wanted to do. Even if they wanted to go into town or something, if the master said no, they couldn't do it. They couldn't do what they wanted to do. Now, how does that then equate to the spiritual aspect? Here's where it gets a little deep. Before God's grace, Jesus Christ in our lives, the Holy Spirit regenerating our souls, before God's grace, we are enslaved to sin. What does that mean? Now, here's a theological idea that is accepted on both ends of the spectrum of the Calvinist-Arminian debate. It's the total depravity. That's a fancy seminary word you get to impress your friends with, total depravity. It basically means sin has affected every aspect of our lives. And then because of that, we are morally unable to choose God over our sinful desires. Therefore, the need of Jesus Christ to come as the ultimate sacrifice, to cleanse our souls, to forgive our sins, but then to regenerate our souls so that we are free from that bondage of sin, and we can follow God because the Holy Spirit now dwells within us, teaching us and reminding us of what Jesus said, what the scriptures have told us. The Holy Spirit sets us free from that state of being where we only think of ourselves, where we only think of sin. We are free from that, and we are now God's children, the heirs to his promise. We are free from bondage of the law that he speaks about in chapter 3. We are freed from sin so that we are his children, we follow his law, we do his will to bring about his perfect plan. The end times, new heavens, new earth, being with God for eternity. No more pain. No more sorrow. No more tears. That's what God is working towards. Sometimes we get stuck in our own little lives and think of what makes me happy. What do I want? What's going to make me comfortable? What am I supposed to do? What is my purpose? Some of those questions are good. Your purpose and your mission, that's from God. Seek his will. But it's a broader scope of what is God working towards. Freeing the world from the bondage of sin. New heavens, new earth, in balance with God's perfect will, God's harmony. Because everything God makes is perfect. You go back to Genesis 1, when he looked at his creation, he said it was good. But then we fell. So what do we do with this? Now that we understand this freedom from sin, what do we do with that? We follow the scriptures. Do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. being humble. Consider that word for a minute, to be humble. What does it mean when you are humble before God? It means getting rid of all of your pride, all of your arrogance, thinking you know what's best, thinking you know what's right. Not trying to do something on your own without God's will. Because when we step out in that type of thought process, things can go pretty bad. You know, it's interesting, in our Sunday school lesson this morning, you know, I don't know what the Sunday school curriculum is going to be, and so when I choose the sermon stuff, God just puts this stuff together, and it's awesome. But Israel was going up against the Philistines, and they were losing, so they said, oh, let's go get the Ark of the Covenant so God will be with us. And it's like you could almost see God going, did I say to do that? Did I say to take my ark over there? Okay. Well, they lost that battle. 30,000 men, and the ark was captured by the Philistines. Of course, God took care of that, and the Philistines said, we don't want this thing, and sent it back. But going out in our own power, our own thoughts, our own ideas, thinking we know what's best, leads to destruction. Because we are fallen, broken people. We are free from sin to follow God. Yes, we have the ability to make choices. We have the ability to say, thank you, Lord, that was great of you. I kind of like my way, and I'm going to go do my own thing. You are free to do that. But there are consequences. In God's will, following out to God's mission for your life, there's blessing. The wages of sin is death. How do we follow God's will? First, we get into the scriptures. We pray so we can know what God says. And when we pray, we can understand who He is, because it's a personal relationship. You've heard me talk a lot about the vertical relationship and then the horizontal. If you don't have the vertical right, your horizontals are going to be pretty messed up. So being in prayer with God helps you understand His character, who He is. Being in His Word helps us understand what He wants us to do. Takes those two things, prayer and Scripture. And Paul says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. He gives us this litmus test as we look at our lives, as we look at our relationships. If we don't see these things coming out, well, then you go back to that vertical relationship. You go back to God saying, help me understand, what do I need to change? How do I need to act? How can I love those around me more? What is loving those around me? What does that look like? Because he says, serve one another humbly in love. Now, sometimes love is not always the butterflies in the stomach, happy-go-lucky feeling. Sometimes love is sitting someone down saying, look, you've gone astray. You got to turn back. You got to repent. Get back on the path. But you do it out of love. And brother, sister, I love you, but that path is going to lead to destruction. You got to look in the scriptures and see how God wants you to live your life. A lot of times in today's culture, we want to say that we don't want to offend anyone. We want to be so nice. Sometimes being nice isn't loving. Like if you see someone walking down a train track and a train's coming, and you say, hey, you got to get off that track. Don't tell me what to do. And they keep skipping towards the train. What are you going to do? Well, for me, I'd go tackle them off the tracks. That might not feel good. But that's a loving thing to do. So as we look at freedom in Christ, free from sin, and we look at how God wants us to live our lives with the fruit of the Spirit, we can start to understand what His purpose is for our lives. Because we all have gifts of the Spirit. Every one of us who has proclaimed Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior has a gift of the Spirit. And as we pray to God, read through the Scriptures, and understand the fruit of the Spirit, we can start to see that path in our lives. Because He'll show you what you want. He will show you what He wants you to do. Even if it's in hard times, those hard times may be building you up, training you in what you need to know. So we don't use our freedom to satisfy our own desires. We use our freedom to humbly bow before God, free from the chains of sin, to bow before God, humbly saying, Lord, You are my Creator. You are my Savior. How do You want me to live my life? Show me Your will. Show me Your way. That's when the church will spread like a wildfire. That's when love will spread like a wildfire. Now, thank you for saying pray for the church. As we do. And I pray for our church every single day. That we may discern God's will. That we may understand what He wants us to do right here, right now, with the talents You've been given. Whether it's 10 talents, 5 talents, or 1 talent, take it out and use it for God's will. God's purpose, and He will bless this church as we grow God's presence in this church and this community. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, this week as we celebrate and enjoy the freedoms that You have given us, in this country, how You have blessed this country with liberty. Lord, we thank You, understanding it comes from You. Lord, help us to remember the freedom we have in Christ and the cost for that freedom. Jesus on the cross. The worst execution man has ever conceived. And Jesus Christ willingly went to the cross, obeying Your will. Lord, help us to have that same obedience that Christ showed. Help us to say, Your will, not mine. Help us to humbly bow before You, acknowledging that You are the Creator, the author of salvation history. Help us to seek Your will. Help us to glorify You in whatever we do. Whether we have 10 talents or 1 talent, help us to use them for Your glory, so that we can spread the gospel message around the world. Father God, we thank You, we praise You. It's in Jesus' holy, precious name that we pray. Amen.